And welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. So let's get started.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go. Pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you find the directing sign on the straight and show you the colors that are real. Someone is waiting just for you. Troubles by the riverside. Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
Quattro, you, my dear, took my breath away on the last episode. Oh, I had no idea. All of that happened so fast within the course of a few days. This is just amazing to me.
Oh, it's crazy. You know the saying, when it rains, it pours. Well, so much hit us at once, it was crazy. And after that amazing Arthur's gig, who knew what was coming in like a storm? So much stuff.
Well, Patty, though, I have to say, you know, you always tease me because you say I like to hold your feet to the fire in terms of our history and the stories and the truth and the accuracy. But I knew all of this happened within a few days of Arthur and then Arlene and Leo breaking up. But I didn't realize you, my dear, kept me on my toes.
I love it.
Yeah, I know you do. But you did. You got me. I mean, and for those who have no idea what we're talking about, go back and listen to the last episode for the full context. That's episode 41. But I do want to recap because I now that I am catching my breath from that ending, I do have some questions. So to recap, we knew that Arlene and Leo were basically heading for a divorce, and now it's going to happen. And we knew a little bit of Susie's consternation over her relationship with a married and older man. And you had told me, obviously, we're doing this history together. I knew that Darlene Arnone, aka Dar Thumper, your drummer, was going to leave initially because of Leo and Arlene breaking up. She was really close with them. But this is all happening so fast. And for Darlene, who was so gung-ho about being in the band, and you've just recorded Gotta Get Away, your another original song. And so I just kept thinking to myself, so those are apropos lyrics and a song for Susie and her guy, Arlene, and now her ex-husband, soon to be, but also Darlene, Dar, Slingerland, drum phenom, great singer, and all around fab gal, Darlene
Oh,
Arnone.
geez.
Tell us.
We were really pretty focused on the obvious stuff with Arlene and Leo, and bam, it was like, what? Total shocker to us. Yet Darlene, I wasn't sure I knew this, but she was having talks with my mother. So my mom was real close to the Dar situation than we were. Oddly, Darlene trusted and loved my mom. So it was a bit of a wakey, wakey, girls. This is also going on. And we still had bookings going back to the Pacific Northwest for Christmas and New Year's. And we wanted to continue writing, but all of this got in the way now, so much, and all at the holidays. It was crazy.
That is crazy, but you just said something that I can't let go of because your mother, Helen, who was the rock, as you like to say, of the family, but she wasn't touring with any of you. I mean, she might have come to visit, but she wasn't touring. How did Darlene, your drummer, but also, I mean, she's your age, how did she get close with your mom? Because she too was close with Leo and Arlene.
He used to talk to my mom about things with family stuff. I didn't know this, but my mother was such a welcoming and, a person that would talk to any one of us, even the roadies. I mean, she just was that way. So somehow they had formed a tight relationship, and she knew she could trust my mother to just discuss it with her, and keep it quiet under the table a little. So she did. Who knew?
I was going to say, your mother obviously lived up to that and did hold that close to her chest. Good for her. Well, you also said in the previous episode that Dar, as we've been saying, she couldn't handle the divorce of Leo, your manager, and Arlene, your keyboardist, but also your sister and brother-in-law, for context, because you said she was so fond of Leo. And you had mentioned this in the previous episode, but Leo and Dar were the ones that drove to Chicago to get the Slingerland sponsorship, and they were just really tight. And you had said a very strong friendship they forged. But there were, you say, other issues going on with Dar and her family too. And this is a reminder that her grandmother, Lily Weaver, was the Pleasure Seekers costumer and a big influence on the band. So tell us what was going on with the Arnone household and how this all contributed to her wanting to quit the band entirely.
I mean, here we are completely involved with the band and all that, but into each life, some rain must fall, and this was quite a thunderstorm all at once to take in. People have their own families and things going on, and she was super close to Leo. Darlene's family had hellacious situations going on fairly suddenly at this point. Her parents' marriage was not going well. There were two younger siblings, and she felt very responsible as the older person in the family, And Lily was having some cognitive issues at her age suddenly. And all of this hit Darlene like a rock. Real life taking over her own family more than, just the Quattro family. So she felt she had to put her career on hold. She didn't even think twice. I mean, it killed her because she loved the band and it was her life. But she was not going to not step in and do the right thing and, help her family's issues full tilt. And it took us by surprise. And she was firm. She had to do this. It was very hard, and we did understand that she had her own troubles suddenly taking priority. There was nothing she could do about it but step up.
Step up, and also it sounds like, and this is not to diminish her feelings at all, but maybe a little bit of transference of why Leo and Arlene's divorce weighed so
Yes.
heavy on her, because it, in a way, it was surrounding her and all the
Yes.
stability she knew. Wow. Well, but I want to ask you, Patty Quatro, the band leader. So the Pleasure Seekers, you're the band leader. So you now not only lose your incredible drummer, you
Yes.
lose your costumer, Lily. And your really influential and steadfast and loyal manager, Leo. So, as a band leader, what was going through your head at this moment? Panic? What's next? What were you thinking?
Well, we're our dad's children, as I always say. We simply had to deal with this sudden new reality. Dar was like a sister to us. We had to support her decision as hard as it would be. And of course, we had gone through so many changes before. It's not like we didn't still have a strong backbone to now try and resolve a major change. My dad's words always came back to me in these times. No one is irreplaceable. Of course, I'm sitting there, oh, God, God, But that's what he always told us. Get back on that horse, find someone. But that doesn't mean it was easy, being such a shocker.
Well, and again, I just want to underscore this because it's a shocker and you're having to take all of this in, but you're still booked as a band. You have gigs coming up.
Yes.
So in terms of coming to terms with, in terms of coming to terms, because my breath, I'm still catching it. So Darlene is out and Leo is out. And that means that the band remains with you, Arlene, Susie, and Pammy Benford and the Bird. So I also want to clarify something from the last episode. Even though we knew that Arlene and Leo were going to divorce, it was set up that Leo was going to be out in January.
Yes.
So, and now we're pretty much at the end of December 1968 going into January. But he's, even though he's still technically your manager, he's not going on tour with you anymore, as we discussed. He stayed
Right.
back in Detroit and took care of the kids. So I just want you to tell us. I mean, he stayed back in Detroit and Arlene's there while you're touring. What's happening next? We're in the middle of all of this.
Well, it was determined that Leo was going to rent a house when they were sure they were going to divorce. So he rented a house close to my parents, and he was going to take care of the kids while Arlene was out on tour. They kept it civil as they could. Leo worked bookings with my brother Mike, and shortly he joined right up with Alice Cooper Band, but he stayed in Detroit with the kids. So that's how they worked that part out. And we were going to be in the road, so Arlene was just coming with us. So.
Well, and again, not to put a pin in this point too much, but I think Darlene transference again, because now Arlene and Leo had three small kids, and that
Yes.
too was going to have an impact, like Dar's two younger siblings.
Yes.
So Dar was obviously contemplating this somewhere, whether it was to your mother or to herself or just whatever. But and it was quick, we know that. But did Dar help you find a replacement? I mean,
No.
again, you were booked. She didn't. How
In
did
a
this
word,
happen?
no. She didn't help. She was just suddenly very involved with her family stuff real quickly, and she was gone. I've mentioned often that there were more girl bands probably in Detroit than any other city. Thank God for that. It was like a music state. I don't know how else to put it. So many girl bands. Of course, we got on the phones, and quickly, by the end of November, we had a great lead on a great drummer, Nancy Rogers from Kalamazoo, whose band I believe was breaking up, called the Socialites. And we'd gotten word from another girl band, the Debutantes, who were in Detroit. And he had called and said, I think you might be able to grab Nancy. And blah. So he was actually helping us out. I mean, we supported each other,
Sorry to clarify, you're saying he. Who has he helped you out?
Don Mills, he was the manager of the Debutantes. So
Ah.
he called us or somehow got a hold of us and said, Nancy Rogers is probably going to be looking for a band. And of course, in my inimitable way, I picked up the phone, called her, and said, Nancy, you got to drive into Detroit. Come on, I want you to join our band, blah, blah, blah. And she came to the Quattro's house. She lived there in the basement, and we brought her up to speed. Voila, we had a drummer.
Oh, I love it. Well, first of all, that is just so you, Gestapo Pat, to say, come on down. For those who don't know, Kalamazoo is also in Michigan, but it's not near necessarily Detroit. So she comes down. And I do want to clarify something, and we're going to get to the gigs and how she fit in. But some of the pictures you sent, which we will are obviously going to share with the listeners, it looks like Nancy took over Dar's pink Slingerland drum set. Am I correct?
Yes, it does look like it. I'm not sure how that happened, whether we asked Star to use it or what, but yes, we seem to have the same set. I know Darlene would have gotten her drums back, and Nancy probably bought her own and all that, but that I don't remember. But somehow there was a changeover, yeah. And that's what happened. She was
Well,
playing on.
the other question I have before we get to the gigs is on the big, what is it, the bass drum, it says now pleasure, and the seekers part is gone, and it says Nancy. So pleasure, Nancy. So I was wondering.
It was double bass. So the Seekers was on the other bass drum. And Nancy put her name, I don't know if she bought tape or what she did. She
Oh,
got her
got
name
it.
on. Yep, she got her name on it. Pretty
Well,
funny.
and also her nickname for the band, all of you had nicknames, was Dum Dum, but it's DUM, DUM. Was that for the sucker, the lollipop?
I have no idea where that came from. It's a weird name, and I don't know why we thought of it, but we always had nicknames.
You had nicknames. Okay, so now Nancy Rogers is in. Thank you, Don Mills from the Debutantes. And so, did you like her playing? Did you feel you didn't have a lot of choices? Did you like her look? Could she fit into the costumes? I mean, you're not only having to replace your drummer, but also now you don't have a costumer.
She was a fine drummer. We were shocked and lucky. We got lucky a lot with our choices. I mean, we just did. No issues there. We just worked in the songs and we were ready in one short week. She did real well and she was a real quick study. Funny you mentioned the costumes, because yes, that was another issue. Nancy fit into certain costuming that we were still able to use if it was like a little bit looser dress, like that angel one, all sparkly. And so by then, we were starting to have our own ideas anyway, which I have mentioned before. We had beginning to mix sort of our ideas with Lily's. And so we had to experiment real fast and come up with some costuming that we would do, maybe just wearing different outfits that were really trendy and cool. But we kept only the ones Nancy could fit into. So that was that.
Well, you have a hilarious story, although I don't know how hilarious it was at the moment in time for Susie, but tell us about the famous blue and white costumes that Lily Weaver did do for you previously before Nancy Rogers joined, because this will also lead to costume changes for the obvious reasons.
Oh my God, it was so interesting, and we had to be so flexible. And that was one of our favorite outfits, and it was popular. So all of a sudden, a shitstorm hits, to put it mildly. So one night on tour, I'm going backwards a little, there we were on stage. And earlier, before the gig, Susie had been constipated and had taken an X-lax. Nothing happened. What did she do? She took another one. And on stage later, we're ready to do our big wind-up to the song by Billard Stewart. You know the song Summertime?
Oh, yeah.
I can't even imitate it because I can't trill my tongue like that, but Susie could. It has that, trilling tongue at the front of it. She does the trill, and suddenly she looks backwards and she runs off stage to the bathroom. Oh my God, wait for it. You can't write this stuff. Blue and white lace outfits, and she had shit her pants. She couldn't come back. We had to do alternate songs. That was such an embarrassing night for the pleasure seekers. And doing a portion of our set without Susie on stage till she sorted it out. That was the night shit happened. My God.
I just can't believe it. Keep going.
So back to our Christmas tour now, with Nancy now in the band. We couldn't use those costumes anymore, obviously, and when it was one of our primary ones. So those blue and white lace outfits were finally retired. My God.
My God, let me just go back to the shitstorm for a second before we go on with Nancy. So you said this was going back a little bit, but this was still in 68. Where did this happen? Where did this gig happen?
This happened in Texas at a bar, and Dar was still in the band right then, and we were having record labels there. They were there to watch us, and no Susie. We
Well,
must
did they? That's my thing. I'm sorry to interrupt. She turns back and looks. Did you in real time know she had shit her pants? And did the audience know? No.
nobody knew. She knew. But all we must have given some sort of crazy BS story to the labels that her pants ripped or something. I'm sure we didn't tell them, oh, she shit her pants. And that
Well,
was I mean, we got through the night, she came back. I don't know, she must have had to change. We probably changed outfits at the break of the set, and life went on. We just pretended like no big deal had happened. Sure, you bet.
well, that BS story really takes bullshit to a whole new level, doesn't
My God, it does. Oh my God. Oh.
So you've been talking now because it is now the end of 1968, and part of the reason why now we know your costumes had to change for whatever reason, whether it be her size or Nancy's size or Susie shitting her pants.
My
And
God.
so this pr was prior to Nancy Rogers coming in. And so you've been booked back in the Pacific Northwest for a Christmas and New Year's Eve gig for the end of 1968, going into 69, obviously. And was this orchestrated by, I call him your music guru, Pat O'Day, who had been the concert promoter for the Teen Spectacular over the summer? Who?
No, oddly, Pat O'Day, we had heard a couple things from him through Leo and stuff too. He had not been involved in the coming Teen Spectacular, and it had gone not so well and was overdue and everything. He was real busy with his own empire and building it. Okay. So we had other people. I can't remember whether he turned Leo on to some other booking agents, but we had a whole tour that was booked by other people, a bunch of one-offs for that Christmas tour, and that's how it was handled. So Pat wasn't involved in this particular tour.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is because, and you just answered it. So you're getting booked by these one-offs. So what do you remember about this Pacific Northwest, the gigs that you played, including New Year's Eve? I mean, that's quite a coup for a band to get New Year's Eve. Tell us about anything you remember.
I think it was the same people that did all the bookings. It was a string of dates for Christmas vacation, about 21 days. There were huge. Seattle is the weather you just can never guarantee. It's freezing up there. It was so icy and snowstorms going on. As we landed and as we took off, things shut again. The trip was really hard on us because it was ice and snow on a very hilly Seattle area. There we are with a trailer and a car and trying to go down sheets of ice on the hill. We were scared shitless. And New Year's Eve actually canceled because of the storms. At the last minute, it canceled. And it was like a roller coaster preparing for so much. And we just kept our nose to the grindstone trying to prep Nancy, the songs, doing these one-off gigs. We had to keep all our attention on just staying alive in this bad weather and motivating our, car and trailer and stuff. We stayed in hotels. The gigs took priority, and everything else was on the back burner during this short tour. And Nancy did a killer job. The fans were receptive. The tour went very successfully. They just wanted to show up and have fun. The kids, they didn't make a big deal about Darlene being gone, which maybe was a bit surprising, but that's, they're there. Let's rock and roll. And that was the atmosphere. It was the holidays, So it went very successfully.
It's interesting how many harrowing tales the pleasure seekers have had in terms of your travels and weather and logistics and geography and sometimes a John or two at a brothel hotel. It's incredible. So, speaking of that, you're on the road and you're handling all of this yourselves. Did you still have a roadie or two? Who were they at this point to help
Yeah.
you?
Yes, we picked up a roadie, a really good one, Mike Roswell. He was from Seattle and his brother. So we picked him up, and it was a bit strange, I'll tell you, to have no manager with us on the road. I mean, we had a guy with us, and there was another one that came along. I can't remember who, maybe his brother. And we handle everything ourselves now. I mean, we had no choice. That's the new reality. So that's what we did.
Well, I'm glad he was there for you. And I just want to remind again, because there's been so many lineup changes. So Nancy Rogers fits in. And part of the reason for the listeners that I will be saying Nancy Rogers constantly is because your sister, Nancy Quattro, is going to be joining us very soon. So I
Yes.
want to make sure that we don't have any confusion here. So, but right now in the Pacific Northwest, and it's you, it's your sister, Susie, it's Arlene, it's Pammy Benford, and now Nancy Rogers. Reception is fantastic. Playing with her seems to be a natural. She clearly fit in. You're saying that the short
Yeah.
tour went well, albeit challenging. And so, quick question for you. Did you have press? Was the fan club that started in Seattle still going? What was happening in terms of that?
Oh, it was completely still going. It was operating well. The fans were coming. You know, they were still in it. We had some press pictures. That's probably the only tour that I didn't save a bunch of press. I was so involved in keeping the shitting thing together, you know, with the ice and the snow and all the changes. And I didn't even think about the press, but I'm sure there were a couple articles now and then that somebody printed something about the holiday shows and stuff. But you know, bad Patty, she missed that in her archive.
Well, and the Pleasure Seekers fan club was still being led by Kathy Perry, and she's going
Yes.
to continue to appear in these episodes before we're done with this season. And so, okay, you're leaving the Pacific Northwest. Did you immediately head back to Detroit? Did you have other gigs along the way?
No, it was such a crazy time with all that stuff going on. We didn't dare book something else. We didn't know what was going to happen, you know? We're praying for the best with Nancy Rogers, and we knew she was going to work out, but still, we didn't want to complicate it with gigs on the way home. We went straight back to Detroit, and then we had gigs booked there. We had some gigs. So, yeah, we just hightailed it back.
So it's now the beginning of January 1969. You had to cancel your New Year's Eve gig because of weather in the Pacific
Yeah.
Northwest. You're now heading home to Detroit with some more gigs lined up, which we're going to talk about in the next episode. But I also want to talk about, as we mentioned, your manager and now almost former brother-in-law, Leo, is now in January officially out.
Out. And he and Arlene are both dating, believe it or not. They've already started to begin a new reality and sort of start dating some people. So, and Leo had the house with the three kids and yada yada. You know, I think Arlene must have been staying at the Quattro home during that period, you know, because we weren't home that long. We had a few gigs and then back to the road. So that's what happened.
I'm surprised that Leo started dating so quickly. I'm not surprised that Arlene started dating so quickly since she initiated the breakup.
She was no, Arlene was raring to go on her missed young life, marrying too early. Leo was the one that was destroyed, truly, to be honest. He was destroyed. He did not want the marriage to break up, and he fought it and fought it and fought it. And finally, you know, that's what they had to come to in the end. Very
That's
sad.
so sad to me. And so we're continuing with these incredible personal and now professional changes within the band because Pammy Benford, Pammy and the Bird, who played and lugged around her bird, began to have serious back issues. So tell us what was going on. And this again, this is all happening in the same moment in time.
I couldn't believe it. Was like, what next? You know, what next is going to happen? Pammy started having all kinds of pain with her back. You know, the bird is not a little guitar nor a light guitar, which is probably why I eventually went to an SG. How light it was for me, you know, but she kept up with her bird and it was doing havoc on her back. And she was limited how much time she could practice and sit there with it on and blah, blah, blah. And, it got us thinking, what else could we do? Privately, the sisters, we were like, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? Will she be able to continue? Of course, we didn't want to lose her. My God, she was a wonderful asset to the band. But we started thinking about it. What would we be able to do,
Well,
And
hold on, Patty, because I don't want to just skip over that because you've lost now your manager, you've lost your costumer, right? And you're now and your drummer. I have suffered from back pain. It's horrible. However, I'm not holding a bird and I'm not playing in a band where I have to keep up with the band, right? That's a whole other added stress. And so it's one thing, I mean, I believe you had said to me privately she was getting pretty cranky. Again, anybody who's had back pain, I understand it. Again, though, I also empathize with you as a band leader saying, come on, we've got to practice. We've got to, as you said, get back on the horse, or as your dad would say. So how did you go from, gee, this is a pain, literally, that Pammy's going through this, to thinking, okay, let's talk about her leaving? Because that's, again, another loss that you would have to contend
My
with.
God. Oh, we couldn't even believe it. It's just so much going on. We started tossing around the idea of maybe Arlene getting, she had such a huge organ set up. So could she get like floor pedals for her organ where she could handle bass on the ones where Susie had to be off the bass and up front? And maybe that's what we could do. It just was a private thought, like, how can we resolve this? But we were still, she was still in the band, still playing, seeing a doctor, doing everything she could to handle it. Cranky as hell, but these were just private thoughts of how we might be able to get around it. And then, I mean, we didn't talk about getting a bass player, it was just more that floor pedal ideal. And we didn't know. We had no clue at that point how Pam's problems with her back would escalate or how quickly they would become out of control. So, of course, we had to think about it. We didn't want to be caught unaware. We had all kinds of stuff coming up.
Oh, absolutely. You had stuff coming up. And that's again why it could have gone either way of just like, please, Pammy, stay. Don't do this right now. On the other hand, as you said, she may not have physically been able to. And this is not a comparison, but just to say it, Patty, you're 5'10. Pammy is very short. So she was handling a heavy guitar being a very petite figure. So if a guitar is heavy for you, that makes a lot of sense. Again, agonizing for you as a band leader. And so, as you said, you had these upcoming gigs, and what an incredible way to end 1968 going into 1969 and ringing in this new year, divorces, affairs, possible lineup changes in the band still to come. And yet you're booked, you're playing, you're touring, and now you're finally gearing up for this Far East tour that had to be postponed over the summer of 68 because of Pat O'Day booking you on the summer-long Teen Spectacular and then Eric Burdon and the Animals gigs. So what was going through your mind, Patty, as all of these personal and professional changes were happening at the start of 1969?
Well, I was always waking up every day. It was like, what a mind fuck. Oh my God, to have all of this affecting our band. And then the Pammy thing on top of it. I can tell you, we were still not giving up on our band's future. We had come so damn far and worked so hard. That we sister, I mean, we still felt committed to figuring out our next steps with these changes. My God, we were still the pleasure seekers with a very important Hawaii and Far East tour coming up quickly for the band and other gigs. Life did not stop for us. This was not an option at all. The Far East booking had waited so patiently, and they were so excited to bring us over to the Far East, and we were determined to do this tour. There was no time to waste. Pammy still played with us. Nancy was all set in the band. Arlene was still with us, even though her marriage was ending, and Susie and I were rock solid on continuing, but fully cognizant that it was now a new reality. It was onward to a new and changed future. And to add to this, the reality we now faced, right? The world was in turmoil to open that vision a little. Vietnam War going on. Come on, it was a freaking big deal thing, and we were excited and determined to do our part to support the military. So, come what may, Far East, here we come.
Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt.